This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Native English speakers with little or no fluency in languages other than Pig Latin may have a tough time traveling abroad. Signs and menus are bewildering, asking for directions close to hopeless. You are bound to recognize a couple of words, like Wi-Fi, hamburger, or jazz. That's because English has one of the highest percentages of loaned words. Joining us to discuss the language's largesse is freelance writer and editor Britt Peterson. She's also word columnist for the Boston Globe, and that's where we found her article, her column, English, Loanword Champion of the World. Britt, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
So you discovered the comfort of recognizing a familiar word amongst challenging ones when you went to Finland recently. Now, did you know any Finnish at all before you set out on your trip?
Not a single word. I guess I knew sauna, which I pronounced wrong, sauna. But other than that, I mean, Finnish is incomprehensible. It's not an Indo-European language. It's not even one of those languages that you can kind of, if you know a couple words, you can kind of sound out other ones. I'd been to Sweden before, and Swedish, if you know English and maybe you know a little bit of German, Swedish is, it kind of sounds like a little bit of slurred English. Finnish is completely different. It's like Klingon, but with more umlauts. It's it's literally like an alien language.
In this collection of consonants, there were some words that sounded or looked English enough that you could recognize them. What were some of them?
Right. So every now and then you'd be looking at a menu or something, and there'd be all these words that just a million K's, a million U's, a million P's. And then all of a sudden you'd see muffinsy, and you'd be like, okay, yes, thank God, muffins. I can order that. I'd be walking by a sign, and I'd see hot yoga. That was one. And you'd say, oh, okay. I know what that is. That's a hot yoga class. I saw CrossFit somewhere. So a lot of people in Finland speak English. Basically, everyone speaks English pretty much fluently. And although there is actually a body in Finland that regulates the use of Finnish and often translates English loanwords into Finnish and creates Finnish spellings for them, there are a tremendous number of borrowings from English into Finnish.
Now, the Finnish government is not the only government that's becoming a little bit more protective about its language. But first, help us understand how English or when English became this leading exporter of loan words.
So this is a fairly new thing, relatively, in the course of human history. For a long time, English was really a sponge of words from other languages. In the early days, in the medieval days, English was borrowing from Norse, from the Vikings. You know, it had the Norman conquest, so French, it had Latin. There's a tremendous number of Arabic words in English from the Crusades. You know, there's so many words that we don't even think about. Sugar, candy, lemon, lime, mattress, magazine are all Arabic words. So there were many, many centuries during which English was actually taking in many, many more words than it was borrowing. But then Britain became an empire, and it started exporting words all around the world. You can actually, in some ways, track sort of the political arc of an empire or, in some ways, a language by looking at the history of its loanwords. And English really went from being sort of a low-prestige language in the Middle Ages to being a very high-prestige language after the Renaissance.
Some of these frequently loaned words seem relatively recent. I'm seeing internet, Wi-Fi, hamburger, okay. When did that happen?
Right. So today, there's a lot of technology words. There's a lot of food words that there might just not be words for in other languages. I mean, you know, Vietnamese isn't necessarily going to have a word for internet. So when America started exporting a lot of technology and a lot of pop culture, there were a lot of countries that just simply didn't have words for these concepts, and so they exported the English word to make up for a gap in their language.
Well, there may be some credibility, I guess you could call it, in being on top in terms of loaned words. Not everybody is keen to accept those loans. Why is that?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I think it's partly because of the history of loan words coming during a time of conquest. You know, again, if you look at Vietnamese has a ton of borrowed words. And that's because for centuries, Vietnam was under occupation. It has a lot of loanwords from China. It has a lot of loanwords from France. It has a lot of loanwords from English. So there's a perception, and I think it's a real perception, that loanwords come in through subjugation. But I think it also, with English specifically, it comes in through anti-Americanism. I mean, I do think there's sort of a taint in that when you read things from France or from China that there's a sense that their language is this very sort of pristine cultural object, and these American words are really sullying it. They're this sort of dirty Wi-Fi, email, you know, hamburger things that like are just a little bit gross. You know, this language is a cultural product in China or France or in Iceland. And to bring in a word from outside is, you know, an unfortunate taint on the language.
I've actually heard that there is a ministry in France that helps to protect against words like le weekend. Is that true or is that an
urban
legend? Yeah.
So the Académie Française regularly publishes articles sort of blasting Anglo-Saxonisms. They ran an article last year saying that they wanted to reconquer the French language. But at the same time, what's actually quite interesting is that French people use English words all the time. I mean, you know, le weekend, le shopping, le smoking is the French word for a tuxedo from smoking jacket. So there's an interesting gap in all of these countries, most of these countries really, between the sort of a very small cultural elite that really blasts English loan words and then the actual use on the ground, which is often very open and very sort of friendly to these often very useful, very convenient English loanwords.
You mentioned a similar government body in Finland. So what do linguists think of these efforts? You know, governments kind of trying to stamp out on loanwords.
You know, I spoke to a linguist, David Crystal, who's tracked this project in Wales. And the Gaelic languages are very small and embattled, and they're sort of trying to revitalize themselves after many years of not being spoken at all. And he sees language purism as actually kind of counterproductive sometimes because it can alienate younger speakers of a language. So if you're someone who really wants to talk about pop culture, you want to talk about food, you want to talk about things that are modern, and you have a government body saying, don't use a word to talk about music, don't use a word to talk about fashion, don't use a word to talk about technology, you're going to rebel against that body. You're going to want to keep on using your slang. It's similar in China where the, you know, the Chinese government is constantly saying, you know, don't use Wi-Fi, don't use VIP. But there's an element of rebellion among young people when they actually go on using these words. And it creates sort of a dichotomous situation between the actual speakers and a more repressive government.
Well, Britt, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Britt Peterson, freelance writer and editor who writes about books and culture and ideas, and she's also the word columnist for the Boston Globe. Her article, English Loanword Champion of the World, appeared in the Boston Globe. You can read it for yourself at wordofmouthradio.org.